Good evening. So tonight we'll be in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Just a brief message. Isaiah wrote 700 years before the birth of Christ, "For a child will be born to us, a son given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Lord, tonight we pray that you speak to us through the words of Isaiah, that you bring to life what this means in our hearts, that you show us your Son, true God, true man, the promised Son. And we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. We've seen over the years signs at protests saying, "No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace." They're saying, without justice, there is no peace. And if you know justice, there will be peace. The irony of these signs and these slogans, and the chance that we hear that we see so often, is an appeal to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It is an appeal to these verses right here. This may be news to those people holding up the signs, and it may be an affront to us as Christians because we feel misrepresented by those signs. But it is an appeal to Isaiah nonetheless. You see, image bearers of God, despite their worldview, can't avoid it. They live in God's world, and they play by God's rules. All men pervert justice through their unrighteousness, yet that does not diminish the desire for justice. It resides in us all, that desire to see people treated rightly, for somebody to get his due. Because of that inner desire, we recognize the image of God in one another. We recognize the dignity of humanity. And so we seek to establish justice by our own means. But our own means are selfish. Our own means are unrighteous. And our own means pervert the very justice that we seek. We have false prophets in the world crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace, failing to bow the knee to the one who can bring peace. They pervert justice. They cry for peace while murdering children, abusing people, mutilating children, hating their neighbor, all while crying for peace and justice. So the question I pose to you tonight, and what I want you to ask yourselves, can we truly love justice, righteousness, and peace, and hate the one who defines and establishes it? Keep that in mind when we look to these words that Isaiah wrote. Promised first in Genesis 3:15, then to Abraham, and then to David, Jesus Christ, born of Mary, as recorded in Matthew and Luke, is the promised son revealed in Genesis that would crush the head of the serpent. God brought enmity between his seed and hers, and Christ crushed his head because of it. To Abraham, it was promised that he would be the father of many nations and that he would be a blessing to the nations. to David a son that would sit on an established throne forever. In Jesus, all the promises to the patriarchs, to the prophets, to the kings, and all the people in the Old Testament find their fulfillment in the God-man, Jesus Christ. So if you look in the bulletins, the main points are the promised son, Jesus Christ, has come and has taken his rightful rule and governance over all of creation as the prophet, priest, and king. Christ established his kingdom through his own justice and righteousness and upholds it through his righteousness given to his people. For a child will be born to us, a son given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. The governing and rule over all of creation, heaven and earth, belongs to Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven and on earth belongs to me, has been given to me, Matthew 28. He reigns through his wonderful counsel. He reigns through his strength. He reigns through his fatherly guidance and his peace. In one verse, we see Christ in all three of his mediatorial works and roles as prophet, priest, and king. Christ, through his word and spirit, counsels his people, giving them the very words of God so that we may see him and ourselves for who we really are. The prophet in the Old Testament would speak to people on behalf of God. He would bring words of woe. He would bring words of judgment. He would bring words of blessing, telling the people of God the very will of God. Jesus did this while on earth through his preaching ministry, and he does it now through his word and spirit and the preaching of his word to his church. Jesus Christ brings peace between God and man as our high priest. The priest would offer sacrifice in the Old Testament on behalf of the people to God. The mediator always stands between God and man, whether speaking for God or representing the people. Christ would offer himself as a sacrifice, fulfilling that and bringing peace. Romans 5 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace wrought by Christ between God and his people is the first fruits of the Prince of Peace. This peace wrought by Christ for his people is promised to spread to one another, to spread to the nations through his governance and his people. We bring the message of peace to the world. Christ's peace. We demonstrate the peace Christ purchased for us by living at peace with one another and by forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. Jesus Christ is our King. He shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Romans 5 calls him the Lord Jesus Christ. We just saw that. Revelation 1 calls him the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he has made us into a kingdom of priests. What does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? Christ offered sacrifice for sins. Paul tells us that we're to be a living sacrifice. We die to ourselves. We give up the things that we love of this world for a greater love. This kingdom of heaven, of God, this kingdom of priests rests on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He rules it in peace, justice, and righteousness by his peace, his counsel, his zeal. Isaiah 42 tells us that a bruised reed he will not break. He will bring forth justice to the nations, justice that has equal weights and measures, justice that values the poor and the rich equally. Justice that sees the dignity of men as image bearers of God not how man sees them. Psalm 10 says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. The Lord will stretch out your scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. The question must be asked, who are Christ's enemies and who are his people? Ephesians 2 tells us, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We were sons of disobedience. We were by nature children of wrath. All of us are born as enemies of God because of our sin, because of our disobedience, our injustice, our unrighteousness. This is why Jesus is ruling in the midst of his enemies right now. But his people will volunteer freely in the day of his power. John 6 says that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him, trusts him, has faith in his person and work, not just believe that he existed, will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. If we look at verse 2 of Isaiah 9, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. This verse is quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. And then following in verse 17, it says, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew and Jesus in word and deed respectively claim Jesus himself as the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. He is the promised prophet, priest, and king, sent to shed light in the darkness, to establish a government of peace, justice, and righteousness. Verse 7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Not only does Isaiah's prophecy prophesy that the promised Son, Jesus Christ, will be, but he now is our King, but also what he will accomplish and how he will accomplish it. Our God and his Son, Jesus Christ, have a zeal for their kingdom, for their people, passionate. They also have a zeal for justice, righteousness, and peace. It says that his peace and his government, his rule or his reign, will have no end to its increase. It's a similar picture to Daniel chapter 2, where a stone is cut out of the mountain without hands, and that stone destroys the kingdoms of the world, the statue depicting the kingdoms of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And this stone cut without hands grows into a mountain, grows into a kingdom. That kingdom, Zion, if you were here at church 2 weeks ago, Pastor Phil preached on Micah 4. And Isaiah 2 says the same thing. The nations will stream to the mountain of God. They will stream to Mount Zion. They will stream to the kingdom of God. They will beat their swords into plowshares. Destruction replaced with construction. War replaced with peace. This is the kingdom of God. And he will stretch out his scepter from Zion, ruling in the midst of his enemies, and his people will come to him freely in the day of his power. How does Jesus accomplish this increase in his government and peace? He established it, and he upholds it now through his own justice and his own righteousness. All lasting kingdoms, societies are built on justice. If there's no rule of law, societies crumble. Christ's kingdom was established by his own righteousness and is upheld by his own righteousness, because man is unrighteous. As both God and man, he lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father. Because of the law, because justice, because righteousness flow from his character, from his nature. He came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to establish it, to put it into force. The justice and righteousness that is contained in the law has been put into force by Jesus Christ. By his life and death, through his resurrection, Jesus, the promised Son of God and the Son of Man, established and erected a kingdom of justice and righteousness, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, tearing down the veil between God and man, ruling until he puts all his enemies under his feet. At which time, the kingdom will have completion. Through his Spirit, he continues to uphold that justice and righteousness by his people and his church. Unlike worldly governments that conquer by force, that coerce their people, who twist the arms of their people, who reign from the top down, imposing their will on people, the kingdom of God, Christ's kingdom, is administered through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, in the teaching of God, by the preaching of God's Word, and the preaching of the gospel. As the gospel is preached and people are called to repentance, the Holy Spirit quickens the hearts of his enemies, those children of wrath, those sons of disobedience, and he raises them from spiritual death, unites them with Christ, gives them a hatred for sin and a love for justice and unrighteousness, or justice and righteousness, excuse me. Let's contrast that so briefly. I was thinking this week about the Ten Commandments. The last one, thou shalt not covet. And I was having some conversations about that. And we have an entire political system that has turned coveting into a virtue, not a sin. That should tell you about the justice of men. A justice that is envious of what others have, that we don't. We've turned victimhood into a virtue. It's a very different set of standards than what the Lord presents. His rule on earth is wrought in the spiritual rebirth of his people, who then live lives of peace, justice, and righteousness in a fallen and sinful world, preaching the gospel by the Spirit to those enemies of Christ, because he must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. In this day and age, and especially in our society, we are not used to these words, king, lord, rule, reign. We live in a republic. We're a free people. We are so proud that we don't have a king. We fought a war to get out from under the rule of a tyrant. And rightly so. Tyranny is evil. It's unjust. And we are so proud of our autonomy. And that's just as bad. Good kings establish justice and do not pervert it. They protect and defend their subjects. They restrain and conquer enemies. These are all things that Christ has done for us. He has accomplished this. He has disarmed principalities and rulers. He has defeated the one who conquered man. Through his resurrection, he has defeated death. On the last day, he will judge the devil, the fallen angels, and all the wicked who never bowed the knee. What better king could we ask for? But it does get better. We were enemies to God because of our sin, and the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ, the priest king, king of heaven and earth, he established justice, and he took our justice. He took our wages. He died for us. He represented us and took the justice that was due us so that we might live as righteous priests to God. I tell you, justice and righteousness apart from Christ is impossible. It presents man with a false gospel, false hope, false assurance, and will ultimately lead to greater slavery, greater tyranny, and ever-increasing sin, injustice, and unrighteousness. Because only he was righteous, only he can bring justice. Because he paid for my sin and he paid for your sin. Because he purchased our salvation, we can be freed from slavery to sin. We can be freed from perverted justice. We can be free to live righteous lives to God because of the blood-bought righteousness of Jesus Christ that he has given us. He made him who knew no sin become sin so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ, so that we can bring justice to the nations, so that we can bring righteousness and peace to the nations. But it's not ours. It's Christ's. We live in a world, we live in America, right? And we have a Christian church in America that presents Christ to us as someone lowly. And he was a man of sorrows, but he was not weak. They present him begging people to come to him. Oh, please, please come. But I say, Christ was not a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior. Jesus Christ did not suggest that you believe the gospel. He invited you to believe the gospel, but it is also a command. Repent and believe the gospel. It's how the gospel of Mark starts. Repent and believe the gospel. It is a command to turn from your sins, believe in Christ, believe in his work, believe in his promises, his righteousness. Put your trust in the person and work of Christ. Repent of your sins. Become sons and daughters of the living God, adopted into his family. We bow the knee to Christ now, or we will bow it later. Do not believe people when they tell you you must make Jesus the Lord of your life. I tell you now, Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth right now. Your only choice is to submit to that lordship or live in rebellion. Your choice is to remain in his kingdom as a willing subject that he has bought with his blood, or to live in his kingdom as a rebel, awaiting judgment and justice and righteousness. Peter said to them in Acts chapter 2, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Jesus said in Luke 14, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Are you poor in spirit? Are you lowly? Are you burdened by sin? Are you captive to sin? Are you tired of oppression in the world? Are you tired of injustice in the world? Are you tired of a world that's blinded by injustice, by war, by sin? The gospel is for you. Jesus is your justice. He is your righteousness, and he is your peace. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. No human system has ever established justice. No people made righteous through coercion or force. No peace has ever been brought through the musings of men, only destruction. But all who have been bought by the promised Son and the zeal of the Lord of hosts guarantees its success. Let us pray. Lord, so thankful for your Son. Thankful for your word. Thankful for this time where we can remember what you've done. Where we can reflect and respond to the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah, by your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you continue to work in the hearts and minds of people during this season. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.